And welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting today will be Mike Gregg and David Holley. In this episode, we'll be looking back at the 1-0 loss for Fulham against Sheffield Wednesday at Craven Cottage on Saturday. We have much to get through, but before we do anything, I have to welcome my two co-hosts back to the show. First, Mr. Mike Gregg, how are you doing?
Hi, Russ. Hi, David, and Happy New Year to all the listeners. And, looking forward to the show in talking about yesterday's slightly controversial game, really, given the mixed views of everyone who watched it. But, looking forward to it.
I am very much looking forward to it. I watched it this morning, and I actually got a great deal out of it. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to share. But before we do anything further, I have to welcome Mr. Holley back to the show. David, how are you doing?
Hi, Russ. Hi, Mike. Yeah, I'm here. I've got. I'm ready for a punch up if we need to disagree on things today for a change.
Okay. Well, we shall see if you guys debate it a little bit. Debate some of the things. It should be interesting. But David, I was just telling Mike off air. You know, I was asking his suggestion about how to start the show because usually I ask you guys your opening thoughts. But I thought a very interesting way to start the show would be to share comments from Sakari Matilla. Again, you can read them on the Fulham website because I think they talk about what his mindset and possibly what the mindset of the team was in this match. So I'm going to share his comments and then you and Mike can share yours. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's start here because, again, I want to get a flavor for what a player thought of this match. Again, this is from the article on the Fulham website entitled Matilla, Frustrating Day, and I'm just going to read some of these comments from him, these quotes. Quote, this is from Sakari Matilla. We're very disappointed because every game we play here at home, we should win. Their 11 men stood behind, and really, we were too slow to penetrate them. That's the reason we didn't get any chances, and that's the reason we need to improve. We need to keep on improving and doing what we have done well this season. We've done that very well this season, but against Sheffield Wednesday, we didn't do so. We need to execute better. It was very well defended, and they approached an away game this way. They succeeded, but we need to be faster, and we need to go forward with bigger ambition, and I think that's where we made the mistake. He goes on a little bit longer in the article talking about his role yesterday, because my role was really clear. To just sit in front of the defense and try to cover their balls to the striker. I tried to make it a hard day for him, but otherwise, it's my natural role. I was really happy to get the chance, but unfortunately, we lost the game. I think everybody saw a little bit of his concept talking about Jokanović. It's really aggressive and really onto the ball and onto the players. You'll find yourself one against one in the way that he wants us to defend, and I think we executed that well. We were aggressive, and we were fighting for every ball, maybe a little bit more aggressive than usual. Okay, those are comments from Sakari Matilla, Fulham player. And, Mike, I want to get your thoughts because I really thought this would be an interesting way to start the show to talk about the mindset of him and potentially the team. What are your thoughts about what he had to share?
Yeah, well, I can certainly see, you know, what he was saying, and I think you know, for the first half hour at least, they were definitely playing in a different way, not only formation-wise, but they were trying to move the ball. What I thought, two things they were trying to do differently, which was a bit more movement. You know, we've criticised the team for just standing there. So they were trying to a few more triangular sort of passing and moving. Some of the players were up for it, some weren't, but you could certainly see that change. And the other thing was the ball over the top. You know, for hopefully Kaká or Dembélé to run onto. So getting the ball forward quicker, not in a direct way or, you know, long ball way, but, you know, looking for that pass. So, and they were trying to be quicker at, you know, actually playing the game. But reverted a little bit to type, certainly for the second half. And Matilla, when he talks about his own role, he did exactly that, sat in front of the back four. Again, something we've all been asking for. And it does suit his game more than, say, Parker or O'Hara or any of the other players, really. And at times, he was almost the third centre-back. You know, he was right in between Stearman and Byrne. So, you could, you could certainly see a change in mentality and a little, you know, little things they were doing. But in the space of 2 days, you can't expect, you know, the whole team to buy into it. And like I say, they reverted to type. But I tend to agree with what he said.
Okay, very good. David, over to you. What are your thoughts about what Sakari Matilla had to share on the Fulham website?
Well, a lot of what he said, that, you know, is stuff that we've been saying for weeks, how, you know, we're too slow getting the ball forward. We don't move the ball around quickly enough. And that's been our real concern. And unfortunately, despite, you know, what was said yesterday, you know, we have reverted to type, really, a game where we've had a lot of possession, but none of it really where it hurts. We just stop when we get to the final third. And that's something that, you know, we really do need to address. But, I mean, you know, he did his role pretty well, Matilla. There were a few mistakes, but, you know, he did sit there and protect the back four. And, and as we've been saying again, I think we've all been wanting to see him tried in that position for the last few weeks since we've seen this his kind of cameo against Milton Keynes Dons. And also, I think he played there for against Stoke in the Cup at home. So we've been waiting to see this. And, yeah, I think Matilla, you know, that's the sort of guy that we need to get in the team. But is whether that formation suits him best or suits the team best, I should say, because the price to pay yesterday, of course, is that we started with this kind of strange 4-3-3 type scenario. And although, as Mike said, I think there were some nice triangles and passing, it meant that people like McCormack were marginalised from the play. And so for everything we gained, I think we lost in other ways. But obviously, the main problem that we've had, well, two main problems we've had, is our defence and shipping of goals, which obviously that's why Matilla was there. And I think, you know, in the main, we did look stronger defensively as a unit. But the other main problem is the movement up front, you know, the quickness of movement. I think we've got a long way to go there still. We were right back to square one yesterday, really, in the end. And hopefully, you know, that we're not going to pay the price for having a tighter defence by having, you know, a leaner attack, because, you know, the attack and goals at least, you know, kept us going. And if we stop scoring goals, then we really will be relying on clean sheets every game. But, you know, it's early days, as Mike said. No one in their right mind could expect, you know, there to be changes overnight or in a few days. We know this isn't going to be something that can be cured probably even this season. It's going to take, you know, the whole of the season and the summer transfer window before things start going the right way permanently, I think. And that was why, you know, in the last show I was quite negative when I sort of suggested our final position of maybe 14th, because I think this season is going to be about consolidation now and just starting to get a new shape and way of playing together. And then when the transfer window is open, I think perhaps, you know, he's going to be looking to augment the squad in a few key areas. I'm sure he'll decide that sure. That has to be done. So, you know, it's very early days. And as I say, I totally agree with Mike when there was some people commenting about, you know, the defeat yesterday, as if it was everything was lost. You know, I don't think anyone would expect that. And you know, Sheffield Wednesday were a well organised team.
Absolutely.
The table doesn't lie yet again. You know, the table doesn't lie. They're up challenging towards the playoff places, and they knew exactly what to do. And they, you know, they in the end they sort of got everyone behind the ball, defended pretty well. And also caught us on the break a couple of times. And, you know, it was a perfect away performance for them, really, I would say.
Right.
So, you know, it was interesting to see, I think. But at the moment, I'm hoping that, you know, everything is still open and that, you know, Djukanovic is not going to say, right, this is the formation we're going with. I'm sure it's not. And I'm sure it's not the team we'll be going with. We'll see more changes until he finds what he thinks is his best mix. But for Matilla, right. A positive start, I'd say, and let's hope that the system and everything will allow him to maybe flourish in that role.
I totally agree. And, you know, listen, I really enjoyed watching him play. I watched back the match today. And Sakari Matilla, you know, again, having that type of player, I think helps Fulham Football Club. So, I think he has a role on the team. We'll see if it's each and every match, but I think Sakari Mattila has definitely has a role in what Jokanović wants to do. But like you said, David, very interesting, because I've decided now that I'm going to read the comments from Jokanović. Again, this comes from Get West London, because it goes back to what you just said, and that's the reason why I'm reading it now. You want to see that balance. You want to make sure that a tighter defense doesn't affect us going forward. And so I'm just going to read this and get your thoughts on it. Again, these are comments from the Fulham head coach, Jokanović. Again, he says, "It is frustrating, but I came here for the long haul, but I did not come here to make quick fixes. I'm not David Copperfield. In front of us, we have 7 days to work hard. It's about finding a balance. In the first half, we had 71% of the possession of the ball, but we did not make enough dangerous chances. We were not a danger on the other team. We're a very good team with the ball, but we need to improve when we don't have it." And then Jokanović goes on. He says, "We need to find the balance between attack and defense. We did not score today. The opposition scored only one goal. I'm sure it will balance out in the future, and we will play better football than we play at the moment. I'm very happy to be back in English football. Lots of Fulham fans have sent me messages on social media, and I know they believe I can help them, and I'm really happy how they've accepted me. I can tell them only that I will work very hard. It is exciting but a disappointing day for me. I'm only 2 days into the job. I need to discover more about the squad and what they need to improve. This is not a time to talk about promotion. We need to be in the real world. We can open the newspapers and see where we are right now. We need to think about the next step, and that is the FA Cup against Sheffield Wednesday. We need to be brave and strong and work hard. I said before about the magic guy, I'm not him, but we are in full competition now, and I know I don't have a lot of time, but in 7 days I'll be able to get my philosophy across." Again, those are comments that you can actually read on Get West London from Slavica Jokanović. And David, before I go to Mike, just share with me your thoughts, what I just shared from the Fulham head coach.
Well, he's been realistic, and so far, literally everything he's said, I think, has been the kind of stuff we want to hear.
Absolutely.
You know, we know it's hard work's needed. I think we've fallen a lot further in ways than many people think sometimes. People still see us as a club who've just come out of the Premier League and are, you know, not far from getting back to the Premier League. You know, I think it's a lot more needed than that, a lot more hard work. As I've said to you before, I have doubts whether our squad is anywhere good enough. I don't think more than about three of the players are good enough for Premier League, certainly. Obviously, the challenge for the Premier League is different, you know, again. But I think, you know, the whole thing has to be looked at holistically. You know, it's not about we just need this player here or this player here. The whole thing needs, you know, taken to bits from top to bottom and starting again. And that's what I think Djukanovic realises needs to be done. He needs to pull everything to bits and put it back together again in the way that he sees fit.
Right. And, you know, and again, that's what's interesting about the words. You know, I was curious what he would say after the match. And I'm glad that you said this, David, because what he said after the match is what I want to hear. I want to hear that he's going to look at this, that he's going to work on this, that again, he's only been in the job a few days, and he needs time to assess what they have and then really, really harness his philosophy into the team. It will not happen overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day, and you kind of got a little bit of that from him. Mike, I want to get your thoughts, because, again, going back to what David's concern is that we'll have balance. He's aware of that.
Yeah, I mean, his comments are everything you want to hear. I mean, my take on his early days is just total professionalism from everyone involved. That's what he's going to expect. That's what him and his two assistants are going to want. You know, this is not a criticism of Kit or anyone else who's been manager, but, you know, he's a modern manager, modern techniques, and I'm confident that he's going to give it a really good go, and he's going to use every tool that he has to make us a better team. And part of that is going to be the learning process of the individuals and their best positions, or are they up to the way he wants the team to play. So he's not going to find that out in 2 days. He's not going to find that out watching the last 15 games on video. But you know, that's going to come from the training field and how they adapt, how they listen to his instructions, because I don't think he's someone who's going to suffer fools lightly at all. And I think looking at the way they started yesterday for that first half hour, there's already a couple of players who, if it was me, I'd be looking at him going, well, I can't see him being around very long in the team if he, you know, if he can't do what he's told. So you've read a lot. We've read a lot of what he did at Watford last year, and some of their fans are saying, you know, it took him about a month to settle things down. He likes to change formations, even during games. So, you know, the days of a solid 4-4-2 and just one change when we make a sub, I think they're gone. I think he's going to expect the players to be intelligent and change how as the game goes. And we lost, but I'm actually, you know, still confident with that, you know, for the rest of the season we can have a good finish. And it's all about building for next year. You know, what players does he want, don't want, and get planning for the summer. And I don't think him and these guys are, you know, they're going to take very long to realise on some of the players. But, yeah, very happy with what he said. And but the proof is in the pudding. He's got to get results as well, because we are in a precarious position at the moment, and you just need two or three wins over the next six or seven games just to get us away and back into a safe sort of mid-table place. So, but I expect a lot of hard work on the training pitch from the guys.
Okay, very good, Mike. And before I go to David, you know, I think your thoughts on the match came out, but feel free to share anything else you want about the match overall.
Well, like I say, I thought the first half hour was promising. You know, a wonder strike. You know, there's not much you can do about that. But the second half, it was frustrating. We weren't doing what we did in the first half hour. And the crowd, I have to be critical of some of the crowd. You know, they've got to have some patience with what's going on. Yes, possession, you know, I've seen David tweet, you know, 70% means nothing. It doesn't. But, you know, the facts are you still, in the long term, a team that keeps the ball over a season ends up being better. And if that's the way we're going to play, then we have to get used to that. We have to be patient. But, I'm happy I saw signs that, you know, it's the right way to go forward. But it's just disappointing that some of the players, I would say, reverted to type. And they weren't all on the same page. And so it was a mixed bag, a real mixed bag yesterday.
Okay, very good there, Mike. David, over to you. Just share with us your thoughts on the match overall.
No, it was. I found it fascinating to see the change and how it would pan out. And I thought there were some positives certainly to have from it early on, but also some negatives as well. But certainly we were looking probably. It was fairly even, but I think we were starting to look the better team right up to the moment they scored. We were starting to sort of, you know, get the ball down and play it, and you know, Mike was saying about triangles and stuff and things, and then, of course, they've gone and scored that goal. And after that, the whole perspective changed, really. They did mount an excellent effort about, you know, defending, as I said, getting men behind the ball and really limiting, you know, catchings on the break, really, because that's how it was. We had the ball, they sat back, we couldn't break them down. I'd be interested to hear if Mike sort of, the players that he sounded quite critical about, which ones he thinks they are and why. Because I just thought that we were, you know, as much as, you know, the changes helped in some way, I thought we were hampered by the system as well. And I think it sort of played up a bit to our weaknesses as much as it did to strengths. Although, you know, we were technically tighter as a defence. Do you know, for the goal as an example, do you want to be seeing, you know, your top striker running back down the left wing, chasing, you know, their fullback on the overlap? Should that be his role? And I'm not sure whether it is. And as it was anyway, you know, the attacker cut inside, took him out, took Tim Ream out, and scored. But the system for me, you know, I don't think it was. I don't know why he picked it, but I don't think it worked very well itself. But as I say, people like Matilla coming in did allow people like O'Hara and Heinemann more freedom to try and get forward and create more. But I think I would have actually rather seen the diamond yesterday than what I saw, because I think at least that way we could have had two up top. As it was, we didn't have really an outlet. I don't see Dembele being the lone striker particularly. I don't know if that's his game for holding the ball up. If anything, Woodrow would probably be better in that role as a lone striker. So Dembele wasn't really holding the ball up. Kakalicic and McCormack were a long way from him wide. And I think that's where it was breaking down for us, that, as I say, we were quite strong across the middle. But when we got into the forward positions, these guys didn't have a lot of support. And you know, it was often we were relying on people like Heinemann to get forward to support the central striker for it to sort of be effective. As you saw, Heinemann obviously had a good chance. Maybe he should have buried it, I don't know. But that was one of the benefits of having Matilla that allowed that. But in other ways, it worked against us, I think.
Okay, very interesting take there, David. All right, guys, let's move on. Let's talk about the starting 11. And, Mike, I'm going to go to you. I want to get your thoughts on this. I also, on top of it, get your thoughts on the starting 11. I want to ask both of you this question. How much did Fulham miss Ryan Fredericks and Tom Kearney in this match? Again, I haven't heard anything about injuries with these two players, but they were not in the starting 11 or on the bench. So, Mike, twofold. First, thoughts on the starting 11 and also these players missing out. Would Fulham have been a different side if those two players were included?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course they would have been, because, you know, you've got pace and creativity, and Kearney, we know, can come up with a goal or two from sort of just outside the box. So, but initially my reaction was, well, that's, Dembele playing. Sky had said he was injured and wouldn't be playing, but there you are. But him in after Woodrow's two goals was a surprise. Fredericks, I wasn't so shocked at. We all know that he probably got a fitness issue, and he's played a couple of games recently. So to be completely dropped, I think that's going to be an injury of some kind, or just pure fitness for him. And Kearney has been carrying an injury a little bit, and I think he got a knock the other day as well. So, and also I did read that he may have failed a fitness test. So, you know, it was odd, the changes. But then, you know, I've had this discussion online, Russ. You know, we won 4-1 the other day, but we had 22 shots against us. The consensus was that, yes, it was a nice win, but we still allowed, Rotherham, one of the bottom sides, to still play and cause problems with us. And then Jokanović says afterwards, you know, he wasn't overly impressed by the win. There were flaws in it. And you then see people saying, oh, that's good. He's noticed, even though a 4-1 win, he's not flattered by it. And then he makes changes and then gets criticised. So, it's a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, but, initially the initial thing was, well, what's the formation? You know, because you couldn't see how he was going to do it. And my reaction when they kicked off was it was four at the back, Matilla sitting, and O'Hara and Heidman sort of in front of him, and then three up front. But it sort of went that way, and then a 4-1-4-1. So I agree with David and other comments. McCormack out on the left, we all agreed that his best position and where we want him to play is up top. So
that's right.
And Dembele, I've watched him all his career really so far. He's okay up front on his own if he has two runners, wide of him. He's had Williams before do that for him at under 18 level. And we didn't have that. You know, everything that McCormick's good at, one of them is running down the wing, is not one of them. And I think the formation, if it was like 4-1-4-1, the ball's over the top. Out of all the strikers we've got, Dembele is the better option. Woodrow, I don't think, is a man who can play up front on his own. His lack of pace is a problem for me. I sort of understand what he was trying to do, almost with three players up front. It didn't work overall. We didn't create enough chances. And the best chances were, Heidman having a shot which was saved, O'Hara a couple of chances. But, it was an interesting lineup. but I'm not going to go overboard about all the changes he's made, because I think there's other factors that have to be taken into account.
Okay, interesting. Mike, before I go to David, if Kearney was fit, you said you had heard that he had a fitness test and obviously didn't pass that. Who would he have played for? Would it have been for, say, Jamie O'Hara?
Yeah, I think it would have been. I think what we saw yesterday from O'Hara, who is off form, he's certainly not playing like he did the first six or seven games, is it was nice to see O'Hara in a more forward role, but his passing, he's the long-range passer, and Hybman is the, you know, on the floor, the short-range. And
yep.
With him more advanced, he's limited in those kind of long balls that he likes to play. And so while he did get a shot or two off, I think we saw yesterday, because possibly fitness is an issue with him and mobility, that he's not suited to that sort of more advanced attacking role. So maybe sitting with Matilla might be a better place for O'Hara and even Parker, you know, if you're looking at them playing all together. But, Kearney, for me, would have taken O'Hara. Hydman's form and ability means he has to be a star at the moment. If you're going to ignore non-signing of contracts and stuff like that, he's one of the first names you're going to put on the team sheet at the moment.
Okay, very good there, Mike. All right, over to you, David. What were your thoughts about the starting 11? I know you have thoughts about Jazz Richards, so what did you make about that? And also asking the question, how much of a difference would Tom Kearney and Ryan Fredericks made in this match?
Well, obviously, we didn't have any team news, so we weren't aware if there were any injuries or things like that. And as I said on the preview show, I wholly expected more or less the same team and lineup. I know the Rotherham result perhaps flattered us a bit, and Rotherham did have a lot of shots, but it was a winning team, and certainly for players like Corley Woodrow, I thought it was very harsh to be left out. I mean, if Dembele has been injured and hasn't trained much, which we led to believe, you know, I would have thought a bench position for Dembele and keep Woodrow in would have been fairer. But there were things that, unfortunately, that we know about Fulham that Djukanovic doesn't seem to know. Number one, Ross McCormack has to play up front. You can't play him, you know, wide on the left or in some midfield position. We've had all this before with Kit. And you know, we play him up front and he scores the goals. Kakanicic, you don't play him on the right. You know, he's had these couple of games on the right. He hasn't done a lot. He switches to the left on Tuesday night. And he was a lot better, I think. So what happens? They put him back on the right again. And then obviously there's a situation with Fredericks. And I thought Fredericks has done pretty well as an out-and-out right-back, although I would prefer him as a wing-back. And, of course, they bring back Jazz Richards, who offers absolutely nothing going forward, really. I was absolutely pulling my hair out with him yesterday, Richards, because like Tim Ream, he gets to the halfway line and he turns backwards all the time. You know, we lost all our wits yesterday completely. That was a really shocking thing. We were so narrow.
We were very narrow. You're right, David. You're right about that.
Ream won't go forward. I know that's what you have to expect with him, but that's why he benefited having Kakalicic in front of him on Tuesday, because we had some width in that outlet. So Ream stops and turns back. Richard stops and turns back. McCormack comes inside. Kakalicic comes inside. We had no width. We're very narrow. So that made it easy, I think, for Wednesday to defend us. So the starting lineup, I wasn't particularly impressed. I was really happy, actually, to see Matilla get a go. I really was. I was glad to see him get a go because I wanted to have a good look at him. I was furious to see Richards back. I was absolutely spitting blood almost, or whatever, feathers, or whatever you spit. I don't know what it was. But
okay.
I was going mad. At least I had Matt Smith, not the player or the Doctor Who one, but the one in South Carolina, was backing me up yesterday a little bit. He was there with me as well on that one, and a few others. But I suppose at least Richards didn't give away his customary penalty for a change. But no, I was really up. And I say the 4-3-3, I don't think that three works at all up front. Not for me. Not Kakalic on the right, not McCormack on the left, not Dembele on his own. It just didn't work at all. And I'm not really sure, you know, why he didn't change it sooner. He did change it in the end, but it really wasn't working for me. You know, Ross was much too much marginalised out of the game. Dembele was too isolated, and Kaká, you know what he's like. He's, you know, he has a few runs, but he's always looking to get it onto his left foot if he can, and so you lose that width again. So for me, I wasn't particularly delighted. I would have liked to see perhaps either the same as Tuesday, or perhaps something more radical like the 3-5-2. But, you know, there we go. Maybe that's next week.
It could be. You know, and what's interesting, guys, is that I really look forward to seeing what Jokanović does against Sheffield Wednesday the second time. That's what's going to be fascinating about this. How is he going to adjust? What has he learned from the first time of playing them, and what type of lineup will he put out, again on the road in the FA Cup? I'm fascinated by this because I think we're going to learn something from what he does in this next match. And I actually think it's to Fulham's benefit that we play Wednesday again in their development. I'm just talking about their development as a team. I do think that there's a benefit to playing them back to back. I do, because it'll give Jokanović a chance to make adjustments against the same team. I find it fascinating. I'm looking forward to the FA Cup match. All right, guys, let's now break down the match a little bit. We're going to do things a little bit different. Basically, I'm going to get your view of the first half and the second half, and we'll start with the first half. I'm just going to read through a couple of key moments, and then you guys just share your thoughts on each half. So let's start with the first half. Again, Fulham looked like the better side early on, and they had a couple of opportunities to score 14th minute from Jamie O'Hara. Of course, you had the shot in the 25th minute from Emerson Hyman, and then Jamie O'Hara followed that up in the 28th minute. Unfortunately, like happens to Fulham so many times, about a minute later, they get the wonder goal by Ross Wallace to give them the lead, and that was all that they needed in this match. All right, Mike, I want to get your view of the first half. Also want to get your thoughts on the wonder goal by Ross Wallace.
Okay, so I've already mentioned, I thought, you know, we started well first half hour, up until the goal. You know, I could see what we were trying to do, you know, lots of movement, certainly from Hyman. But going back to what David said, you know, Ream seemed to be on an elastic band, which as soon as he went over the halfway line, he just had to stop and go back, and because he was right in front of me, and we were all saying, get forward, loads of space. Because Ross was going inside. So I totally agree with that. The chances we had, you know, Hyman's was a great shot, O'Hara, a couple of chances. And so I felt fairly comfortable, and we were defending really well. Matilla was impressive. People were making individual mistakes, the passing, but you could see that they were almost instructed to, you know, we're looking for the pass forward. So I can accept that. I can always accept players making mistakes if you can see what they were attempting. So I felt fairly comfortable, and then this goal comes out of nowhere. And if you drew a line from the goal, from the shot, and went all the way through the player and back to my seat, I was virtually right behind him. And I'm not going to criticise Lonergan at all. I mean, it's not a Sky game, so you're not going to know how hard he hit it, but it was a powerful shot, right high up into the goal. And okay, you could argue it's a long way out and Lonergan, you know, he should have time to adjust, but the way he cracked that shot off, it was, you know, I'd doubt any keeper was going to stop that. And so we find ourselves behind, you know, heads go down, here we go again, and the sort of initial game plan seemed to disappear, players' confidence goes. But then we did have, I think I'm right in saying the offside goal came just after that. And it was nice little play which Dembele passed through to Ross. I didn't think he was offside at the time. And, you know, a little bit unlucky there. So, you know, we could have been straight back in the game. And then, you know, we finished the game half one down. But I was still fairly confident that we could get back into it, and I thought we defended, you know, set pieces fairly well, and disappointing, especially with the possession, and that was the discussion at half time. Everyone saw the stats and, you know, we're not creating enough chances, but look at the possession we had. Disappointing going, but looking forward to the second half. But the goal was something special, and like I said, I'm not going to blame Lonergan at all.
Okay, David, over to you. I want to get your view of the first half. You and I have talked offline. You feel differently about the goal, but share your overall thoughts on the first half and then talk about your thoughts on the goal.
Well, I can't disagree too much with what Mike said. You know, as we said, up to the time that the goal happened, you know, we looked fairly stable, and I think there was a sort of an improved movement and determination about us, most certainly. There was the frustrations of individual mistakes, like Mike said. I think Dan Byrne had a few hairy moments at the back, especially. And we had, you know, the issue with, say, like, the lack of width with, like, Tim Ream and Richards not going forward at all. But certainly, I think Hyman was the main person for movement. He probably had the best movement overall from what I saw yesterday. And he was in that space trying to get up towards Dembele, trying to link up with Kakalicic and O'Hara and then McCormack. I didn't feel, you know, too oppressed. It wasn't one of those games where you felt they were going to score at any minute, not really. We dealt pretty well with Nuia, quite, you know, he's a big guy, but, you know, Matilla added a bit of extra height in midfield. I know he looked tiny compared still to Dan Byrne, but I think he's quite tall, Matilla. Definitely added a bit of height in there. So, yeah, it was all going okay, really. I don't think we were causing a lot of problems. As I say, the possession was in our half a lot of the time. A lot of turn back, passing sideways, without really getting into penetrating areas. But as I say, we had that, you know, the best chance for me was certainly the one for Hyndman. And to me, I don't know, I think he almost tried to place it. Perhaps he should have gone for power, but it was on his left foot. But it was a good chance. And certainly that the shot from O'Hara as well was a great shot. I think it just swerved away at the last minute from the goal. As for the goal itself, you know, I have to be critical because I played in goal myself and I'm super critical about this.
And the
first thing I turned around and said to people next to me, I said, how on earth is he being beaten from that range at his near post? My gut feeling was he didn't do well enough. And I've watched it again and I've watched it on replay and it's hard, but I still think that he had enough time to get across and cover that. It was a very well hit shot, no one can deny that, and I dare say it has dipped and swerved a bit, but still he had a clear line of sight, and I can only assume that he's initially misjudged him. Initially he's thought he's going to go over and he hasn't made a quick movement. You know, we see it sometimes with free kicks where goalkeepers take a step in the wrong direction and then the free kick goes in the goal. And for me, maybe that's the kind of analogy I'd give, that I think he'll be disappointed about it. It was well hit, but, you know, number one, Tim Ream has shown him much too much space. You know, I have to be critical about Ream on that one.
I agree with that, David. I told you off air. I totally agree with you on that. I had a chance to really watch that. I agree with you there.
Yeah, Ream has sat off him far too much, given him much too much room. He's let him come inside. And he's had a free shot. Now, most times you wouldn't expect that to happen, but I'm just not comfortable. I think in every other way, Lundgren had a great game. He made some brilliant sort of one-on-one stops and things. You know, we could have, when we got caught on the break a few times. But that one, I just don't know. I think he could have done better. I think it's his near post. It's the side of the goal he's on, and I think he didn't react quickly enough to it. I think he's deceived by it. And by the time he's realised to go for it, it's too late. So that's my take on it. I know it probably sounds very harsh, but that was my initial gut reaction watching it live, and I haven't really changed from seeing the replays.
Okay, very good. Very good. And, David, you know, again, I agree with part of that. I've told you this. I agree with the Ream part of it. I've watched it back a few times. I think you're being a little harsh, but you're entitled, and so I'm with Mike on that. But you're entitled to your opinion. If you feel that he should have done better, please feel free to share that, and you have. All right, guys, let's now move to the second half, and I want to get your view there. And, Mike, I'm going to go to you. Just share with me your overall view. One other thing that I want you to touch on, because I've talked to our co-host, Emilio Danilo, and I want to get your thoughts on his thoughts on this, about the substitutions, the first two substitutions. He believed that that Jokanović was being a little negative because they were like for like and was not being similar to what Stuart Gray had done in the past. Again, kind of going for with more aggressive substitutions. Share with me your thoughts in the second half and also the substitutions. I really want to know what you feel about that.
Well, I mean, my main thoughts on the second half is that we we didn't create enough chances, clearly. I mean, the best chance fell to Woodrow and his header, you know, which he had a lot of time on, but, you know, he put it over. They had, you know, some one-on-ones, and Lonergan certainly kept us in the game. And, it's, you know, I do my man of the match polls, which people vote on, and it's still running, but Lonergan is way ahead, so he's going to win man of the match for that.
Sure.
But generally, you know, they sat back, and the chances they had were fleeting, but, you know, they were better than anything we had, really. And I know we were passing the ball again. We had a lot of possession, you know, but it, I think one of the lessons from yesterday is the full, you know, you kind of, it's going to come out of that and realise that, you know, fullback wise, Richards and Ream, while they possibly make you more solid as a back four, give you zero going forward. And, you know, so I think we'll see some changes there. You know, and that was detrimental to us creating anything because, as David said, you know, we lacked width. The one time Ream did get down the left, you know, it did help produce something. So it wasn't a great second half. It was, you know, pretty dull from our, you know, a creative point of view. But the subs, I would have to agree a little bit. You know, Parker came on for O'Hara, and you said it was like for like, but it wasn't really, because Parker then went and sat, and Matilla went forward, which was a, you know, he played more advanced. And
that's a good point.
If it had been, if it was Matilla for Parker, then I would agree that it was like for like. So for me, that was a very odd one, and I do wonder if that was a case of a coach looking at his bench and picking the ex-England, you know, experienced player to come on, you know, a little bit, you know, stars in your eyes type thing. But he'll learn from that, because when Parker came on, he didn't do too much either. And then Garbutt came on for Matilla, allowed us to have a proper, you know, well, say proper, but a left-sided player. We went the 4-4-2. And then Woodrow on for Kaká, which meant Dembele had to go out on the right wing, which were, you know, was very bizarre. So I didn't understand that at all. But so the substitutions were odd, that's for sure. I wonder, you know, I saw Stuart Gray talking to Jukanovic quite a lot during the second half. But again, for me, you look at it, it's a learning process, but I would have, you know, possibly looked at a couple of other changes. I doubt if I would have brought Parker on. We're chasing the game. For me, he's not someone to come on when we're really chasing. The other two made some sense, but the positional changes that happened after them, they didn't. So a real mixed bag. I'm not sure it was negative. I think it's more a case of him just using the wrong personnel. I don't think it was meant to be a negative change. It was just, you know, just the players that he put on, but not a deliberate philosophy change. In, you know, we're one down. Why would he want to go negative? So we're going to see it. Again, going back to the Watford fans, he's not shy at making subs, so it's something else we're going to see happen. You know, lots of changes in formation, lots of subs. And, you know, we're marking down for the subs, I'm sure. But out of everyone who came on, only, you know, none of them really had that much of an impact. And it was a, you know, definitely a minus on that side. But overall, second half, disappointing again with the amount of possession we had. And it's all a learning process.
Yeah. Very good there, Mike. And I agree with you on the learning process. And thank you for clarifying, because I'm the one who wrote down like for like. But I remember, and again, watching it, that the roles did change for Scott Parker. So, and like you mentioned, that Sakari Matilla then went forward. So what it definitely wasn't like for like, but I was just talking about position wise, and I obviously threw a Goldman in there, and I got that one wrong. All right, David, over to you. What were your thoughts of the second half and also the substitutions?
No, I was much the same, really. I tweeted it when it happened, you know, bringing on Parker for O'Hara. What, you know, what was that meant to achieve? Because it's certainly not a positive sub as far as I saw. Much as I like Scott Parker, you know, you bring him on perhaps you know, to replace Matilla if we're holding on to a lead and we want to tighten up a bit or something like that, maybe, but not when you're chasing the game, most certainly. I mean, again, for me, the key was really getting McCormack up front to be playing, you know, have a two up front. You know, we need to be attacking. So for me, I suppose maybe he was hampered a bit by the bench. I would have liked to obviously seen, you know, other people. Be, you know, if Fredericks or Kearney had been an option, they may have brought something. Perhaps they were injured. That's why we didn't see them at all. I don't know. But from the bench, the only real option to me was to get Garbutt on and take off one of the central midfielders, therefore creating the 4-4-2, which he did secondly. But and this is where you have to look at the composition of the squad and everything. You know, are we really, you know, needing to bring a left back on to play left midfield? That's not ideal, is it? You know, it would have been better if he could have had a left midfielder to come on, or put Kasher on that side and put someone else on the right even. But from the players that were available, yeah, to bring Garbutt on in left midfield, I think was a real priority, and he didn't do that soon enough for me. So, you know, as Mike said, sort of mark him down a bit on that. And then, of course, bringing on Woodrow, and I thought, oh, well, here we go, Woodrow on the right again, but in fact, Dembele on the right. And to me, he looked completely out of place there. I thought it was that was really a square peg in a round hole. And an example of, you know, we've talked about before, do you pick the best 11 people for the positions, or do you pick your best 11 players? And certainly that was an example where I don't think it was right. But, you know, this is one game in. If in a few weeks' time his substitutions have been rubbish and he keeps picking Jazz Richards and he keeps picking strange formations, then I can start to have a moan about it. But we don't really know what's going to happen next week or the week afterwards yet. So it's difficult to be too critical because it's very experimental. And perhaps, you know, in all this experimentation, he may find something that we really hadn't have thought of. I don't know what, but maybe some good will come out of it, some super way of playing that we just hadn't envisaged, something that will work for our players. But at the moment, I think, you know, me, you, Mike, we know our players pretty well. We know things like McCormack needs to play out front, Dembele needs to play out front, Kaká needs to go on the left, and which players can play where. We know the Tim Ream issues. He can't really play, you know, as a centre-back on as two. He's OK as a left-back, but he doesn't get forward. Richards, likewise, on the right, etc., etc. And we just hope that Jokanić realises these same kind of issues there. And this is the problem we have. We have a squad of people who can do some things but can't do some things as well. And this is what makes me think that, you know, we may be looking out for new players. But second half was very disappointing. Sheffield Wednesday was strong. They sat there, they soaked it up. We didn't cause them any enough problems. I watched the players a lot of the time. We were just standing around. Too much standing around and, you know, not enough movement and little runs and triangles. And it was too easy for Sheffield Wednesday. And, of course, we made a few mistakes. I know Matilla made one mistake, glaring mistake, which, you know, overall it was good, but I think that led to them having a one-on-one chance. Lonergan, you know, despite my reservation about the goal, he was superb in the second half. I think about three one-on-ones he saved, kept us in the game. Can't fault his effort at all, really. But there was hardly a chance. The keeper didn't have a save to make, of course, second half. Only that chance from Woodrow with the header. Apart from that, really there was nothing. And that's, you know, for a team playing at home, even against one of the better teams in the league, you've got to be having more than one shot on target. And that was the real problem, the unwillingness to shoot once again. We're getting towards the end of the edge of the area. We're running out of ideas. We're going sideways. We're going backwards. And we lose the impetus. And that's what happened. Yeah, that's what happened again yesterday, unfortunately. We just lose that impetus. Yep. We keep the ball, we lose the impetus. And we end up going back and then trying to start again. Then we hit it long, we lose it. And it's just, you know, that's the problem. The final third for us, especially against a team that are well organised like that. And we had no wits, really, to exploit that with. And so it was playing into their hands.
Yes. I totally agree with that, David. And I agree with pretty much a great deal of what you had to share there. And I'm the one that says, yes, just shoot. But it also goes back to what Matilla was saying in the beginning, you know, again, about the passing. You gotta go faster. But again, to your point, you know, we don't have the width, so that limits what we're doing. But if you're getting in a dangerous area, please, just shoot. Mike, back over to you. You had some extra thoughts on the substitutions?
Well, it was really agree with what David was saying. I mean, what yesterday will have highlighted to Jokanović is the holes that we have in the squad. So, and also Matilla's performance. So, you know, Matilla, it was a decent performance, wasn't, you know, great, but, you know, he sat there in front of the back four, and none of our other players in the squad have done that this season. The best player I think who could do that is Tunnicliffe, but because he has energy, he runs around for O'Hara and Parker and everyone else. But you just can see that Matilla is better than Parker and O'Hara and others at that role. So you could argue we're short in that position. And then you have Kaká who is a left-sided winger, and you have Williams in the squad whose fitness is an issue, that's clear. But we're definitely lacking a right-sided winger. So he's going to have come out of that realising, you know, I need pace on the wings. And if we're going to loan anyone in, I would expect those two areas to be looked at.
To be addressed.
And that central midfield area. And we've had gaps there for quite a while, and they weren't addressed last summer. We thought we could get away with it. But, you know, we've seen that in the end you need proper out-and-out wide men who take people on with pace. And I just go back to the Watford team of last year that he played with. They got the ball forward quickly, but, you know, in an aggressive way and fast. And I'm hoping that's what we're going to see eventually from him, if not this season, certainly next. But I anticipate that's the way he wants us to play. But in those areas, we are lacking.
It's a great point. You know, again, that goes back to David's talk about lack of width and having proper wingers. And I agree with all of this. And, again, over time, he might want to bring in, like you said, we can only do loans now. Maybe this summer he'll look to reshape what he wants to do. Because I remember Watford playing last year there, Mike, and you brought up good points. We don't. You know, again, we're lacking that somewhat. So I do want to mention there. If there is one player that I do want him to bring in, I'd like them to contact Middlesbrough and bring back James Husband. It's his birthday today, so I wish him happy birthday, and wish he was playing with Fulham right now. Just want to mention because I would like to see him come back to Fulham during this transfer window. All right, guys, quickly, let's go through full-time stats, and then I want you guys to rate the players. And I'll just share some stats with you. Again, possession, Fulham ended up with 68.5% to 31.5% for Sheffield Wednesday. Total shots, Fulham had 11, Sheffield Wednesday had 14. This is a glaring stat. On target, Sheffield Wednesday had 6, Fulham only had 1. Let's see, passing accuracy, they were at 64%. Fulham were actually at 81%. Attacking passes were 336 to 176. So that's not bad. Fouls, 15 for Fulham, 13 for Sheffield Wednesday. Corners, Fulham had 4. Sheffield, another glaring stat, Sheffield Wednesday had 7. Crosses is always a very good one. Fulham had 20. Sheffield Wednesday had 15. Crossing accuracy was 20% for Fulham and 33% for Sheffield Wednesday. And David, I'm going to start with you. What stats stick out to you?
But obviously the possession that we talked about, the shots on target, and the corners. And to me, I think the corners is almost a better way of looking at the real possession than the possession is. Because that tells you, you know, when you've been getting up there into the areas where it hurts. You don't get a corner unless you're having shots on targets or trying to put crosses in from dangerous positions. And so they've had nearly twice as many corners as we have. And that, I think, shows really where, you know, where the ball was, who had the dangerous areas most, let's say, and I think it was them. Obviously, the say possession for me is out of it. It's a look at the shots as well, the shots on target and the shots off target and the corners. That shows you who's in the driving seat. That really does. And I think, you know, that I don't think anyone really could say fairly that they didn't deserve their win, Sheffield Wednesday. I have seen a few people saying otherwise, but I don't agree with them. I think if I was them, I would be you know, only moderately happy with 1-0 win. I'd almost be thinking perhaps it should have been 2. But that's it for me. The shots, okay, the corners, you know, things like that is the real key.
Shots and corners. Excellent. Mike, how about you? What stands out from you from the stats from this match?
Well, I mean, what's going to stand out, you know, is the 70% possession almost, and the number of passes. I mean, all, you know, 8 shy of 600. I mean, that is a lot. I mean, that's,
I forgot to mention that. Very good point by you.
Yeah, you know, 592 passes. I mean, that's
to 267.
That's a hell of a,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a hell of a lot. I mean, that's up there with the best teams who keep the ball. So, you know, I am someone who likes to see the ball passed around. And kept possession, but it's where you keep it. And it was yesterday too much. I think it's a lot down to the fullbacks. I mean, we've already mentioned it. You know, both Ream and Richards get the ball, and then they look to pass it back to their centre back. And but I think it also has a lot to do with who's in front. You know, so you have McCormick, who will tend to go inside. You have Kaku, even when he's on the right, he will stay quite wide. But you know, Richards has this inability to sort of get the ball down the line. You know, it's almost instinct to him to, you know, if you're facing 12 o'clock, he almost has to go back to 8 o'clock to pass the ball, if you can understand that. And so I'm happy with those kind of stats, but it needs to be another third up the field. And, you know, but we still got in 20 crosses. They got in 15, you know, so... for a team that lack width, we still got, you know, that number of crosses in. And, you know, long passes, we played slightly more than them. But that's what I was talking about. We were trying to get the ball over the top and for Kaká and Dembélé to run on. But they ended up playing so deep and defending as a, you know, proper team. They were well drilled. And, you know, you can see why they're up there, why they're seventh. And the size of their team is always going to give us issues. They know how to play against us now. You know, I've seen every game in the last 2 seasons against Sheffield Wednesday, and they are definitely a bogey side for us, that's for sure. Why I've got a ticket to go to next week's Cup game, I have no idea. But so for me, it's a passing. You know, lots of moaning, negative. It's never negative to keep the ball. It's how you use it, and I think we will just improve on that. So it's good signs for me.
Okay, excellent stuff. All right, guys, we're going to go over just a little bit. You know, again, I opened the show up for us in case we needed some extra time. So we will be going into, I guess you could say, extra time, but not too much over. But, David, quickly, I want you to rate the players in this match.
You want all of them in one go, yeah?
Yeah, all of them in one go. I know you don't like that, but if you could, I would really appreciate it.
Okay, I'm going to give Lonergan, I'm going to give him a 7, I think, which sounds a little bit harsh in some ways, but he made some great saves. But I still have that question mark about the goal, and also I'm still, you know, frustrated by his lack of command in the 6-yard box, that he stays rooted to his line. And I know that's probably the way he plays, but I'd like to see a more dominant goalkeeper there. But 7 for me. Richards, I'm going to give him the bog standard 6, actually. I thought he defended okay. He didn't give away a penalty. I was frustrated, however, that, you know, he didn't get forward enough. And really, I think we need more options there. But I can't fault his defending particularly. Likewise with Stearman, I'm also going to give him a 6. I think he was mostly okay. Dealt with Nihua fairly well. Unlike, unfortunately, Dan Byrne, he had a bit of a tough time with him, I think, really. Also some poor passes by Dan Byrne in the first half as well. I'm only going to give him a 5. Tim Ream, okay in the main. Again, frustrating that he didn't really get forward at all, turn back. Also, I've got to mark him down for letting the guy go for the goal, so I'm going to give him a 5 as well. Matilla, I think for the first hour did pretty well. Maybe tired a little bit, went off the ball a little bit just before he was taken off. But I'm going to give him a 6.5. O'Hara, I'm going to give him 6. I was expecting more from him, I think, yesterday, perhaps, with him not being required to defend quite as much. So a bit disappointed he didn't have more than that. He did okay, but not more than okay. Hyman, not as impressive as Tuesday night for me, but still showed a lot of movement, you know, and was trying to make things happen all the time. 6.5 for me with for him. For the forwards, I'm going to give McCormack 5 because he was out on the wing, wasn't involved enough, really wasn't his game for me. Always trying, but it just doesn't work for me when he's out there wide. Likewise, Dembele, 5 as well, not in the game at all for me, hardly. A couple of times in the second half, he almost had chances. They were spurned because he was trying to get on his right foot when he really needed to hit it on his left. Got to hit them first time, those ones. Don't give the defender a chance to get back. Kakanicic, 5.5. Did the best he could probably on his wrong side. A couple of times, the fact that his lack of his right foot wasn't the best option. He tried to put crosses on his right foot, but didn't necessarily go the right way. Came back inside on his left a few times, but he was busy, and at least he did hold the line, as Mike said before. So 5.5 for him. Subs-wise, Parker didn't really offer anything at all for me when he came on. I'm going to give him 5 out of 10 as well. Likewise, Garbutt, I think, didn't really get involved that much. 5 out of 10. Not going to rate Woodrow because he was the last one to come on. It'd be unfair to rate him just for a few minutes.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, Mike, over to you for your ratings.
Okay, Lonergan, I'm going to give 7. Like I said, I don't blame him for the goal. He made a couple of outstanding saves second half. Still the same old thing with our goalkeepers. I just wish they could be a bit quicker in distributing the ball and not allowing everyone to get back. So there's a couple of times in that second half where you want him to kick it long, go for it, and he just waits and waits and waits. Oh, for a goalkeeper who would get rid of the ball quickly. Richards, I'm going to give a 5. I mean, in the end, we did defend, you know, fairly okay, but his inability to get the ball forward, just holding us back so much. And also, one thing that really irritates me with him, there's quite a long list, but the one is his throw-ins. He just, I don't know, I'm not sure what he does. He just takes so long to take a throw. There's no urgency. There's no speed of thought. It's a real frustration for me whenever he's on my side of the pitch and he's taking throw-ins. I just want to, you know, hit him over the head or something. But 5 anyway for him. Stearman, I thought, after a few dodgy games, and I thought he actually led the back four quite well, so I'm going to give him a 6. Burner had the really hard job of marking the man monster that is up front for them, and he tried hard, but it wasn't his best game. He made a few mistakes with his passing, especially after a couple of good games he's had. So in a way, him and Stearman changed their performances over. So I'm going to give Burner 5.5. Ream, I'm going to have to give him a 4 because he was out of sorts. Whether it was his instructions he had or whatever, he just again reached the halfway line, tried hard to pass the ball forward more than Richards, but just kept failing. And as a fullback, as someone who plays fullback quite a bit, he was far too square on to Wallace, and he should have shown him outside a little bit more. And as soon as he went inside, he was flat-footed, wasn't going to be able to stop the shot. So you've got to blame him for that. So 4. Matilla played that role really well. I'm going to give him a 6 out of 10. He made a few mistakes, but he put himself about, didn't shy out of anything. And that's certainly, I'd certainly like to see him get a little run of games now. I think he offers us that protection needed. So 6 there. O'Hara, as I said earlier, disappointed me in the more advanced role. He lost the ball quite a bit. Yes, he had a couple of decent shots, but I was hoping for a bit more from him, and so I'm going to give him a 5. Hyman, I'm going to give him 6.5. He fitted into the new style in that first half hour. His movement, he's an intelligent player. He's got the passing range. I always look at him when he has the ball, Wes, Dembele, they played so much together, you know, under 18s. He knows where he is, and I noticed when he's got it, Dembele sort of perks up a little bit. But nothing quite came off, and had a great shot. which was safe. But yeah, I thought he was again, you know, pretty good yesterday. Front three, Kaká, I'm going to give 5.5. As David said, he tried hard. I thought he defended quite well at times, and that's one criticism of him. But, you know, playing on the right, he's always going to be limited. He's always going to look to stop, not whip the ball in with his right foot. So it must be fairly easy to defend against. So, yeah, 5.5. McCormick, again, I'll give him a 5.5. Couple of poor free kicks. You know, I know he scored some blinders, but sometimes, you know, you need to hand it to someone else. And, you know, we need to get him up front. He looks lost again. You know, instructions. Is he one of those players who's not great at taking instructions? I don't know. But, yeah, this little bit disappointing. Dembele, I'm going to give a 5. I'm criticised for being one of his big defenders. I know there's lots of people out there who are now saying, yeah, just get rid of him, just sell him, whatever. They don't realise how good this lad will be. But, you know, yesterday wasn't his best game. Best thing he did was the pass through to McCormick for the offside goal. He looked, I don't know if David can see it where he sits. He stays on the line. He stayed pretty central as the one man. So I don't expect him to go wide. But he looks to make the run and then the pass doesn't come. So, you know, he gets a lot of criticism for his, you know, not putting effort in. But I thought first half, especially chasing down the goalkeeper. But overall contribution, pretty poor. The subs, I'll just give everyone a 5. None of them really, you know, helped at all, did anything different. So, yeah, it's, yeah, none of them really worked to any great advantage. So overall, Lonergan for me, man of the match, closely followed by Heidman. But everyone else was pretty, you know, for that last hour, pretty average, really.
Okay, very good there, Mike. And I want to go back to you because you were talking about the relationship between Heidman and Dembele. Second half, there was a great pass. It just didn't come off with Moussa Dembele. But you've noticed, obviously, that symmetry between the two of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's the same when, Christensen and Williams were on the pitch as well last year at the same time. And, you know, these youngsters have grown up together. And certainly Heidman and Dembele, you know, played so well at that level. They do sort of know each other's game. And I really can see it. Whenever Heidman has the ball, and especially in this advanced position he has, you can see Dembele making the runs that he usually makes, which is to peel away or look to run in between two defenders for the ball on the floor. And that's, to get the best out of Dembele, you've got to get the ball to him, in front of him, to run onto. And he is not a man like Smith who wants the ball pumped up to him. You know, he's not a great header of the ball. We all know that. So I really like that sort of combination. How much longer we're going to see that is something else. but certainly Heidman, you know, I'm quite surprised. I mean, you know, as an American, you would have seen him play for your teams, and it seems to shock some people how good he is. But, you know, any of us who have watched the youth sides and little bits of him last year, unfortunately, it was during the gaff reign where he played most of his games. But even then, he was still doing this passing that he's so good at. He is a quality player, and he will be. For me, he's always going to be, out of the three stars, Roberts, Dembele and Heidman, he will go on to play for a really, really top side. And I'm talking like the top sides in Europe. I really think he's that good.
Okay, very good there, Mike. And I'm glad that I asked you about that because, again, there was that one pass. It almost came off, but it just didn't work because the defender did a very nice job, and that happens. But you could see it. You know, it worked out really well. And I agree with you on Heidman. You know, I want him to stay. I don't see it happening. Maybe things will change under Jokinovic, but I could see him moving to a team in Germany. There was speculation about him over the summer. I wouldn't be shocked if that happens again, but we'll see how it all plays out. All right, David, I'm going to go back to you. Did you have something you wanted to add on Kaká Nikolić?
Yeah, there was something Mike actually reminded you as well when he talked about McCormack's free kicks. One thing I noticed yesterday, it's nothing to do with the players, was how how badly I thought the ref sort the set the walls up and used the marking out. I mean, overall, I have to say the ref, he was a bit of a rookie ref. I think it was only his second ever championship game, but I thought he refed pretty well overall. But when it came to free kicks, I looked and he counted out 10 paces. He took 10 very normal little paces. Now, to mark out a yard, to mark out a yard, even for me, and I'm 6 foot literally, I have to really kind of do quite a big step. And he took these tiny little steps for 10 paces. And then I don't think the wall were anything like 10 yards on any occasion, really. And
there's other times
as well. At other times, I noticed that he was also marking lines out when there was no one there. He was wasting the shaving foam or whatever it was they used. A couple of times he did that, but yeah, I wanted to ask Mike as well was, I actually suddenly thought about one of the substitutions. Wasn't Kakanić taken off just after he bottled out of a challenge, and should we be marking him down for that? That was one where McCormack did a kind of little back flick to put Kakanić in for a clear run on goal, but the defender was closing him down, and it was more or less 50-50, and Kakanić just jumped out of the way of the challenge. He didn't go for it. It was a 50-50 ball, absolutely, and he just jumped out of the way, and I was actually a bit disappointed with that. I know the defender's a lot bigger than Alex, but still, you've got to go in for these things, and it was almost straight after that he got substituted, and I wondered if Mike thought that was a direct consequence of that by Djukanović, or whether it was just coincidence.
Mike?
Yeah, I do remember that, and my perspective from where I'm sitting was I thought the ball was a little bit long. I must admit I haven't watched the replay, so and I thought the defender just got there. But it may well have been. I mean, one of the criticisms of Kaká is he's someone who doesn't want to get hurt, and, who does want to? But, that's also, for me, it's a little bit of a red herring that, in the end he's a winger, he's not a defender, and some players are like that. It comes through. I think it's just coincidence. I think he was looking to make changes, and Kaká was the obvious, sort of choice probably to go off, or Dembele really. But it's a good point, and that's what you get with Alex. And Alex is in a difficult position now. I mean, he's out of contract in the summer. I'm sure he'd get a new team. That's not an issue if he decides to not sign any offer, or for we don't even offer him a contract. So he's playing for his future a little bit. So, it's going to be interesting to see what his commitment is, because we all know about players when they're out of contract. Are they looking not to get injured? But no, I think it's just coincidence. But it's good. It's a fair point. Can I just go back to the ref, though, and the 10
sure.
yards? And totally agree. Totally agree with that. There was a free kick in the first half right in front of me where it was about 8 yards and we were all screaming. So one of the tips I give to people when they watch a Fulham game is if you look at the cut of the grass, the lines that go across, they're 6 yards. So whenever you watch a game at Fulham, use that as a judge. So two of them is 12 yards and that's how far the ball, just inside two of those cuts gives you your 10 yards. So, but he was definitely counting them short continually through the game, so maybe the assessor will mark him down on that and get him a tape measure for him during the week.
I'm glad that you guys mentioned it, because watching it back it was pretty noticeable, talking about not being 10, you could tell. So, and Emilio mentioned that to me as well, so we were talking about, so I was really curious to see when I watched it, and it was pretty obvious. And Mike, that was actually a very good way for fans to be able to do it themselves. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. All right, before we talk about grading Djukanović, David, I want to get your man of the match. I believe Mike went with Andy Lonergan. Who's your man of the match?
No, that was mine as well. He was my top-rated one. Despite my reservations about the goal, I thought otherwise. He did his job brilliantly.
Okay, excellent. All right, it's time to rate the head coach. All right, David, I'll start with you. Give a rating for Slavisa Djukanović.
I'm going to go down the middle, and I'm going to give him the 6 out of 10, which we give players who have done okay but nothing more. He did okay but nothing more. He's got a lot to learn, obviously. We all got a lot to learn, I think. He tried a selection that didn't really work for me, really. you know, a couple of people came in who we wanted to see, but a couple of people were left out who probably should have been there. A bit harsh on Woodrow. McCormack out wide, definitely a no-no. Kakalicic on the right, a bit of a no-no. Richards, a bit of a no-no. 4-3-3, or whatever it became, didn't really work for me. Substitutions as well, didn't really work. So 6 out of 10, I think, is about the most I can give without, you know, being too generous or too unfair.
Oh, like you said, right down the middle. Mike?
Well, I'll go right down the middle as well. I was going to give him a 6 as well. I mean, it's... yeah, I mean, you know, we've spoken about everything that's gone on, but it's, you know, 2 days in the job. He said the right things afterwards. He's one of those managers who stands on the touchline, you know, playing, kicking every ball and shouting instructions. Saw a lot of that, so that would please a number of fans. And so I don't think we'll see him with his hands in his pocket. And, you know, it's what it is. It was first game, didn't work a lot of it, but I saw signs of what he possibly wants to do, and I'm happy to see that. And let's review him in a month's time once he's had 4 or 5 games and see where we stand then.
Okay, great. Guys, listen, this was seriously an excellent show. I really enjoyed doing it with both of you. But to wrap it up, I just want to get final thoughts from the two of you. So, David, any final thoughts before we wrap the show up?
I'm going to buy Mike a white coat for going to Sheffield next Saturday.
Okay. Mike, final thought.
As long as it's a fur-lined one, because anywhere north of Watford is just freezing at the moment. So, you know, just get it sent to my address. But, no, final thoughts are, I think, a massive overreaction by a load of fans yesterday online. And at the game, what we saw, it was a very mixed bag. He's been here, you know, 72 hours or whatever it is. We know the players. I would say that everyone who goes, watches the games, we know the players inside out almost. He's got to learn about that and fairly quickly. And we've just got to be patient and, you know, fingers crossed he's going to find the right way to get some wins under the belt, and hopefully that's going to start in the cup game next week.
I certainly hope so. I actually look forward to doing the preview show and seeing what actually Slavica Jokanović puts out for form on that Saturday. I'm really looking forward to it. All right, guys, like I mentioned, this is really a phenomenal show. Thank you, both of you, for joining me. For David and Mike, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, Russ. Cheers, Dave.
See you, Mike. See you, Russ.
Yeah, bye.
Boys and girls, London calls.